On today's episode of Checkers or Wreckers, we got a lot of big news. First of all, Bob Levine selling his team, Chad Johnson being fired from the crew chief position for the 42 car, NASCAR being the most watched sporting event this weekend, we got a New Hampshire recap, Kyle Larson's Nate Ryan NBC Sports interview, 2021 plans, is Jimmy Johnson making the playoffs or not? Sentimental favorite, yes, but otherwise, is he really? Silly season updates, talking about Bubba, Brad, the interest around RPM, ownership, and also Christian Bell now. Looking at the hindsight picks from New Hampshire, as well as picks for the weekend, who's definitely not winning and who is winning, some crystal ball headlines. It's go time, baby. Hammer down. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Checkers or Wreckers.
Yeah, baby.
Episode 2. We're recording this late night, early morning, about 12 a.m. on a Wednesday. We got some big news today. And the reason why we wanted to wait so long to record was because too much news is coming out. And if we would have recorded at noon earlier today, wouldn't have gotten it all. So first off, we got to talk about Levine Family Racing selling their team, basically, to allegedly Spire Motorsports, but also maybe TRD. We don't know. It's like this mystery buyer, like Bachelorette, or even like Love is Blind. Like who is going to buy them? Or who has already bought them? My bad. But so to talk about this right off the bat, Bob Levine is one of the most candid NASCAR owners was on the circuit. He always talked about his struggles, what his struggles were with sponsorship, what he didn't like about it. He was just usually just bitching on SiriusXM, which I have no problem with. But it reminds me eerily of Barney Visser with Furniture Row Racing. When Barney left the sport, he left the sport because he said he couldn't find any sponsorship after 5-Hour Energy pulled their sponsorship after the 2017 season, his championship season. And then he comes back and he says about months later, he didn't try enough to get sponsorship, which is what I think happened here with LFR. LFR just didn't try hard enough to find more sponsorship. They said they needed 11 races to be fully sponsored this year. I cannot count how many times I have not seen that car not sponsored this year. I think Toyota sponsored it twice. And yeah, we're past 11. Ream is doing a fantastic job with them. So I don't understand what he's bitching about. I just think, I don't know. I just feel like Bob just kind of said, I'm not making any money anymore. Like, push through it. Nobody's making money right now.
I agree. I think he has a bit more of an excuse than, you know, maybe other guys would in years past. Right now, we are in a huge economic slump. Now, NASCAR is doing good. It's kind of a shock to me.
Doing okay.
When he said that, you know, they couldn't afford to keep on going, when the way the schedule works out now, the way NASCAR is doing things with no practice, no qualifying, this was designed to be easier on the lower funded teams like LFR. So it's a bit of a surprise to me that they couldn't afford it when the racing structure is actually saving them tons more money by doing just the race itself and not having to waste gas and tires and potentially backup cars. However, I don't envision a lot of sponsors coming to a smaller team right now, spending millions of dollars to get them through the season when, again, there's so many teams, or not teams, businesses that are going bankrupt right now, and there's not a lot of money going around. But it's kind of like, I can see both sides of it. I can see both sides.
So one of his quotes from his news conference today was that his main sponsor for the team is his construction business. Now, they're out of Texas, technically. Now, they do have a race shop right down the street from Hendrick, or it's really behind them in the woods. It's Alan Quickie's old race shop. So there's history there. But he said that they're the main sponsor, but I haven't seen his construction business on there. So that tells me that he's not asking enough money for the sponsorship. He's basically selling it for pennies on the dollar, letting Ream go on there for free, if that's what the case is. And so that's what also kind of irks me about Bob Levine just selling team like that, just selling out. Because if his construction business is the one that's funding it all, and that's what he says, then what's Ream doing? What's Procor doing? What's Germania Insurance doing? Like, what are the rest of these guys doing? How much are they paying? If they're not paying enough, then why are you letting him on the car? Like, you need to say, I just feel like he should have set a precedent for himself and said, our car's worth X amount of dollars per week or per race. And instead, I feel like he just kind of said, oh, Ream will give me $100,000. I'll put him on the car for the whole year. It's kind of like BK Racing when they kind of licensed Burger King
to be Pepper. On.
Yeah. Everybody's like, man, Dr. Pepper's really going to money. No, Dr. Pepper just kind of said, yeah, you're allowed to use our logo. That's free advertising for them. But so going on, if Spire, you know, Spire buys them, who cares? Spire has a good connection with Chip Ganassi, and there's early indications that if Spire did buy it, then Justin Haley could be a full-time driver for them. Who knows? Bigger thing in the news right now. Chad Johnson, crew chief for the 42, now former, was let go or relieved of his position. They did not say in the release where he was going, nor did they say why he was gone, but
he's going home. He's going home.
Look, Matt Kenseth blatantly ignored him during New Hampshire whenever he said, all right, let's take – he spun three times, and then they said, hey, come bring it to the pits. He goes, no, I'm going to the garage, and then he literally just took it to the garage.
He was pissed, furious, and watch on Race Hub earlier, Drew Blickensterf, Blickendick had made a reference. He goes, yeah, he said he made a comment like that and back in the day, and then I disappeared a few weeks later. So he goes, when Kenseth is pissed, the crew chief is the next one to go. Now, a lot of the comments, the response that I saw is, look, it ain't the crew chief. That's not the problem with the 42 car. It's probably the guy behind the wheel.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, which really, I agree with.
Look, everyone keeps on saying, man, everyone that I hear talking about Matt Kenseth is like so hard on his fucking dick. And I'm like, get off. Like, seriously, get off. You're going to hurt yourself without some
lube. Yeah, I agree. It's painful.
Look, he won the 2003 championship. I get it. Did he have a win that year?
17 years ago without
he did not
a
have a
win.
So it's like, he's a champion. He's a champion. No, I don't care. I really don't care if he's a champion or not. Kurt Busch is a champion, but do I go around saying Kurt Busch, NASCAR Cup champion? No, I say that's Kurt Busch. He won a championship 16 years ago, and Kenseth 17 years ago. Matt Kenseth is not walking on water. There was a reason why he was let go from Joe Gibbs, and there was a reason why he did not. He underperformed at Roush Fenway whenever he took over for Trevor Bayne during that horrible season, and they brought in Ryan Newman to replace him. So whenever they brought Matt Kenseth out of retirement, and he didn't think he was ever going to race again, and he should have been thinking that, honestly. He should not have been thinking about, oh, I'm going to race again with that kind of performance. He was okay at Joe Gibbs, and then he got released. So then now, everybody's like expecting him to come back out of with no practice, no qualifying.
New car.
Yeah, new car, new packages, new race team. Walking in there, he didn't know a single soul other than Kurt Busch. And people are going to say, oh, he's elite. No, he's not. If he was as elite as everybody says he was, then he did okay in the beginning at Darlington. And then
he had a good race at Indy. That was his best performance. And he hasn't done anything since then. Look, what you mentioned, everything is stacked against him. I'll give him that. But if I'm looking at the scoreboard, I'm sitting here, everything you just mentioned, new car, new packages. He's been gone for a few years. No practice, no qualifying. Not only that, Chip Ganassi Racing is good equipment. It ain't top tier, but it's good equipment. It'll get you a win, you know, if you're good enough and have the right situation. We saw it with Kyle Larson and Kurt Busch in both cars. But if I'm looking at the scoreboard and I have that whole list and I look at the other score, the other part of it, and it says crew chief. I'm not saying that must be it right there. That's gotta be the problem. Bullshit. It ain't a bad tire call. It's not, oh man, should we got a fuel? Maybe got more fuel there, or maybe two tires for? No, that's what a crew chief does. I understand they build the cars and stuff too, but there's so many people involved in that. Eventually, you got to ask the driver, hey man, what's the deal? And it's expected. If it's someone expected him to do good, I don't know what blind faith or why they would even believe he's going to do great. He's not supposed to. So it's bad for the crew chief. Feel bad for him.
He's supposed to be, that duo is supposed to be just good enough to find a replacement driver for 2021 season.
Which would be Ross Chastain. Just get him, get it until the watermelon boy from Florida can take over for you.
I just don't understand why. All right, look, Matt Kenseth pulls that shit with any other team, he's fired. If the crew chief and everybody else on the team says, let's make repairs, your sponsor wants you out there on the track. Yes, I don't care.
They are paying millions of dollars to see that car go around, even if it's multiple laps down. That doesn't matter. Or for a championship. If you're sitting there, if I'm a team owner and I'm sitting there thinking, we can make repairs to the car, you can finish ahead of other guys who wreck out or may have problems, then why would you not do that? It's I thought it was pathetic. And like you mentioned, that's a lot of money people are paying. A lot of money.
Bitch move. That was like, when I saw that, I was like, all right, he's done. Matt Kenseth is done. He's going to get removed. Like, they're going to bring like Trevor Bain in or something. They're going to bring like Justin Haley up to race. Yeah. Oh, as soon as he did, I thought he was done. But we got to move on.
Yep.
NASCAR was the most watched sports event this weekend. Over the MLB, it was awesome to see that kind of numbers. Now, the ratings haven't been released yet officially, but we do know that we were the most watched event on television. Now, all those people that said, I'm boycotting, the same kind of people that went out and bought Nikes just to burn them in terms of the Nike boycott. that just made Nike's bottom line even fatter. So, like, NASCAR, whenever they do all this kind of stuff, they're getting new fans. All the racist people that are like, I want the Confederate flag right now. Like, shut the hell up, dude. Like, if you're really going to be like that, somebody else will just literally fill your place. I can guarantee you there are other people just waiting to finally come to their first NASCAR race because they feel comfortable. And then now everybody's watching it. And we're still the number one sports program on television for the weekend.
Think about it. We are a week into the MLB. The NBA just started. Now, it's not the beginning of the season for the NBA. We're heading into postseason, so it's crunch time for those guys. There's no other major sports that are noteworthy going on right now. What?
Post-race lacrosse.
No. Like I stand corrected. So to have those two going right now and still be the number one, I thought NBA, if someone asked me, hey man, you gonna overall ratings, you gonna pick the NBA, you gonna pick NASCAR, I'm betting my left and right nut on NBA all freaking day. But that's exciting. I'm telling you, people are down at NASCAR's growing. It's coming back. It may not be consistent, you know, or maybe too hard to tell to see a consistency trend because everything going on. But I think NASCAR's coming back, you know, it's rising up again.
You know, I'm willing to bet the same thing, only I'm willing to bet my left, right, and third leg for that one.
I'm not going third leg. Third leg's never. That's my – I got to have a safety net.
And?
Can't do it.
Yeah, people always ask me why I'm so steady with my camera. I say I have a kickstand. So, moving on. Listen, New Hampshire was objectively boring. Now, bear with me. It was a better race than other New Hampshires, especially stage one for me.
I'm going to eat my words. I had said last week that New Hampshire is the stupidest, most pointless track, and I predicted a snooze fest. Now, with that being said, I actually really enjoyed the race.
Whoa!
I really like that race.
Magic Mile is magic in JP's heart.
It was it, man. It got me the magic tingle in my pants. It was a not a bad race. So now look, it did. Well, not didn't go quite that far. It didn't go quite that far. Now had you know Dickie Hamlin won or Joey Logano won, I would have had testicular cancer. But that race, the first stage especially, even stage two, were fantastic. We had a bunch of battling going on early on. I was literally on the edge of my seat the first 70 to 80 laps watching that race. I mean, they were going back and forth, non-damn stop. Going to stage three, the race kind of fell off. I believe it was with 70 or so laps to go. Denny Hamlin, I believe it was his tires. He just couldn't turn as well as Brad Keselowski could, and he just ran off with it. Now, there was a lot of good racing behind the field, a lot of three, four wide at times, even through the very end. A lot of these tracks, you know, you expect the to be three and four wide in the first couple of laps. Everyone gets spaced out, but it maintained that way throughout. Now, I would have wished for a late caution. That's the only thing that race, for that race to be really, really good, a late caution would have done it. Now, there wasn't a bullshit one. I would have been, now, to be honest, I would be more pissed with the bullshit caution than I am with the results right now when it just stayed green for, you know, 80 laps straight.
No, we needed Quinn Houff out there to
we did. We did. We needed Quinn Houff to make a unscheduled pit stop from the outside lane down to pit road. That's what we needed.
Listen, Quinn Houff is kind of like J.J. Abrams when South Park, they asked him to reboot the national anthem, and he has like the one light yes, two light no, and they go, Quinn Houff, will you help us reboot NASCAR? And he's like, and they go, yes. And then he goes, yeah, one light. So I'm just waiting for Quinn Houff at the end of every race. Quinn Houff got a little bit close to wrecking somebody this past weekend. He was on the bottom and he let everybody go around him on the top. And I was like, come on, Quinn, wreck him. I would have loved it. I don't hate on Quinn Houff. I love it when he wrecks because caution, more cautions mean more fun. It's like Six Flags. More flags, more fun for me.
More lawsuits.
I'm fine with that. Yeah. Not my money.
Yeah, and you lose your legs.
Hey, I had fun.
Yeah, it was a good race. It was a good race. It had everything I wanted. It had the close passing. They had the traction compound, which I'm like, oh God, they're going to ruin the whole race again. Here we go. It's Texas. I'm having Texas nightmares of like a really boring, non-passing race. Didn't happen. So,
Kyle Busch wrecked too.
Yes, he did wreck. And I'm telling you, man, I was putting on my work uniform and I was jumping and screaming, seeing him hit that wall and taking the dejecting and embarrassing ride in the golf cart to the infield care center. It's one thing when you're in an ambulance, no one can see you. You just go straight there like a cupboard. But to be like a little kid, because he's so tall, so he slumps over extra, you know, if he was, you know, like 5'10". But he's with him being as tall as he is, he just slumped. He's like slumped over. He looked like that, like we've talked about before. He looks like that kid that like puts the report card on the table and like your parents are coming home. And it's like you know it's coming. Like your week's over. And that's what he looked like. He's like that, you know, he's like slumped down and just wiped out. And I'm telling you, I predicted last week he is gonna fall apart at the seams. I thought it was a guarantee on the Kyle Busch topic that he was gonna be in the playoffs. Right now, after that, him wrecking out early on, it's a big if. Big if.
Well, I thought about, you know, in typical 18-car fashion, they blamed everybody else for the
never
tire failure.
Fault. It's never his fault.
Adam Stevens, too. As soon as the tire failed, get these Goodyear guys over to our stall right now. But in reality, they hit the wall a lap before. So if you hit the wall, 18-car, you're gonna get a tire rub, and Kyle can feel the tire rub, and he says, I had no inkling that it was even gonna go down. But he did. You can literally see the car going down. So I don't know what he was thinking about. I don't know if he was like focused on something else, but it hit the wall. And then they say, oh, Goodyear needs to come over here and fix it. No, it's not Goodyear's fault. But also we have some suspensions from that race. We have Sparks and Baxter LaJoy and Bubba's crew chiefs are suspended for the race. They're both docked 10 owner points because of improper fastening of ballast. They didn't want to pull like a Denny Hamlin when the ballast came out and almost hit somebody. Don't want that. Also, something that happened over the past weekend was Alex LeBay, NASCAR Xfinity Series driver from Canada. He's upcoming star. He won the Pinty's Championship, I think, last year or the year before. And they had a SCCA event at Daytona on the road course over the weekend. And he said that he brought a steel-bodied SCCA-approved car to just run there for fun. Now,
this is a funny story.
The car, it may have been steel, could have been carbon fiber, but it looked like a 2020 NASCAR Xfinity Series approved car. Now, he was running with Hoosier tires on there, and so I'm like, is this supposed to be like John Cena waving his hand? Is the Hoosier supposed to make the car invisible? Because, all right. NASCAR acted so quick. He ran 7 laps, and they came out there and basically waved him down. And he got fined $50,000, docked 75 owner points, and I don't even think they're done there. And I think they're actually appealing the decision as if they weren't there. Like, there are pictures of them doing this, and they're out there saying, oh, that wasn't me. Oh, it wasn't me. I'm not doing that.
You got the wrong guy.
Yeah, that wasn't me. You kidding me? That's not me. You pulled me out of the car? Hey, that's not me. It was a ghost. There.
It was a ghost.
Ghost. Ectoplasm. It's everywhere. Everywhere. It was a ghost. All right. Moving on to more controversial topics as well. Nate Ryan from NBC Sports did an interview with Kyle Larson. It was a written one. It wasn't on camera. And one thing that stuck out from the interview was Kyle Larson saying that in terms of 2021, he hopes that he gets the chance to race again so he can prove that he's a great race car driver. Now, that quote reminds me of those things where you're like, the word bank and the definition, you have to like draw the line in between the two. You know what I'm saying? Like the matching game. Now, Kyle Larson on the left side, and then that. I thought that would have been like a Daniel Hemric quote. Someone that had been demoted from the Cup Series because of their poor racing performance. But whenever Kyle Larson says that he's trying to prove he's a good race car driver, that's not the reason why he got cut. He didn't get dropped from NASCAR, dropped from all the sponsors because he's a bad driver. He got cut because he literally said one of the worst words in the human language and just kind of said it off the cuff. Like he had said it a million times before on iRacing. Now, it's a bigger problem in the gaming community, yes, but Kyle Larson said it. He owned up to it, yes. He went to George Floyd's memorial, and then he went back to racing during the huge... Now, this is all during the Black Lives Matter movement. Daniel Trotta on SiriusXM said it best the other day. She said he has so many opportunities to make this right, and he continues to just keep on racing and pretending like it's going to go away and hoping that somebody will say, oh, yeah, he's doing great right now. But in the back of your mind, it still remains that he said the N-word. Like, he literally said, like, the worst one. And he just said the hardest R. And I couldn't believe when he said that. But I don't think he deserves to have a ride, like, in 2021. I think, like, a top-tier ride? No. I don't think that any sponsor would touch him, especially during right now's political climate. I think maybe in 2022, somebody may pull, like, a Kurt Busch from Phoenix Racing, like Gene Haas did, and just sponsor him out of pocket for 2 years till Monster comes back on board. But then again, Kurt Busch was acquitted of domestic violence. So Kyle Larson's in the court of public opinion, and I don't think he's ever going to be acquitted. So I don't think he's going to be on a ride.
I got a slightly different take from the article that was the interview that he had. The next phrase or words that he had to say after that comment of, I just want to come back and show the racing world that I'm competitive. And he should have flip-flopped this order because he mentioned that first. Then he mentioned, I know what I said was damaging. Something along the lines of, what I said was really, really bad, and it's really hard to come back from. Now, if he would have said that first, then ended it with like, look, I want to come back to racing. What I did was horrible. I'm doing whatever I can to amend it. Then I get it. Now I do agree with you. You know, I'm not quite as harsh. I wouldn't say harsh, but yeah, harsh on him.
Stone him.
No. I'm not as big on it because he did say the right thing. He just, the way he mentioned, though, you're right. He mentioned racing. He acknowledged his racing results before he did saying what he did. That should have been the first words out of his mouth. But again, me and you aren't him. He's obviously has different priorities. And you're right. He has a lot of opportunities to be doing the right thing here. He has a lot of opportunity to be doing it. And he's racing, what, 4 or 5 nights a week instead. So,
honestly, if he went out there and ran like a Black Lives Matter sprint car, he would get so much respect. Like, if you were like, take a knee before the national anthem, be protesting everybody else, even if he was faking it, I think that people would be like, oh shit, like he's putting his career on the line for this.
I would agree. I'd say he should have that. He has money to put the scheme on there, put the plastics on there. That would help with sponsorship. Even if it's Kyle Larson driving, I feel like having that paint scheme on there, some companies will say, you know what? We're going to give you a second chance on this. We're going to buy into you. And then not only that, but some of the Black Lives Matter leaders, invite them out to the racing, show them the culture firsthand and be a part of the change. During the Confederate flag, you didn't hear a single thing out of him when they banned it. He should have been right there, not physically, obviously, but he should have been right there next to Bubba, preaching and pushing for that, using every resource he has to do that. And it wasn't there. He just wasn't there for it. It just, again, I don't know that he really, really wants to come back to the Cup Series. And if he does, he's doing a very poor job. And I think he knows what has to be done. He's a very smart guy. I mean, come on, me and you, we're not race car drivers. We're not signing contracts worth millions upon millions of dollars and having these
yet.
We're working on it. We're working on it. But even we know the importance of that. I know the importance of that. So I think he does. He just does not care. He might be a real racist. the more I look at it. So.
Yeah, he could be like that, or it could be like what was it? Like South Park with Mr. Garrison when he was running for president, and he's like, everything I say is wrong. People are getting stoked on me. He just continues. You know, like you said, the first thing out of his mouth should honestly be like, I did this. Because every time that anybody thinks of him from now on, he's going to be like South Park when they go, that N-word guy. That's the guy that said the N-word on Wheel of Fortune, he's, like with Randy Marsh.
He is the NASCAR Mark Furman. That's who he is. Now, congratulations, yeah. Kyle Larson. You are now Mark Furman of NASCAR. And what did Mark Furman never do? He never told the truth. He did.
Never raced.
Nope. He was focused on every kind of race. That was his problem.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. We have to make a tough, tough, tough transition here. It's a hard turn away from racial relations on this podcast. But Jimmy Johnson, aside from the sentimental favoritism that we have here and just the overall like, oh, it'd be nice and mushy for Jimmy to make the playoffs, is he actually going to make the playoffs?
Yes.
Yes? Like what? All right. Is he going to win or is he going to points his way in?
He's going to points his way in, and I think he'll be out by either the round of 16 or the round of 12.
He's in 18th right now. He's behind Tyler Reddick, and then also in the cut line is Matt DiBenedetto ahead of him.
I think he'll barely get on points. I think he'll get his racing together. I think he'll string up some really strong finishes here in the next coming races, but I don't think he'll win.
I think the answer to my own question, is Jimmy going to make the playoffs? It's really, really, really hard for me to commit and say, yes, Jimmy will make the playoffs, like on just facts alone. But he has a good stretch of races in front of him. And he does have Clint Bowyer and Byron, who are kind of underperforming this year. Now, I know Clint had a strong running at New Hampshire, but I'm talking about like overall, Clint just can't get it done, which I feel bad because I like Clint. But the tracks left are Double Michigan, Daytona Road Course, Double Dover, and then Big Boy Daytona. At Michigan, Jimmy has one win in spring of 2014, five top fives, 13 top tens, average finish of 17.2. I do not think he's going to win this weekend at all.
He'll have strong finishes. He'll have solid finishes. Again, he won't win.
Hopefully. And then Daytona Road Course, I think he has a wild card shot because he's run the Rolex 24 eight times. His last one was in 2011. Finished second overall in 2008. So he's one of, I think, six other drivers in the field. I think Kyle Busch also ran the Rolex, I think, this year. So Kyle has a big advantage on everybody
else. But it's Kyle Busch. He won't do shit.
But also, I think, but Dover is his best track out of the next ones because he has 11 wins there. He's the all-time winner there. That's his last win was at Dover in the fall. So it was a playoff race, though. And 17 top fives, 25 top tens, average finish at 9.9. Then at Big Daytona, he has three wins, but two of those are Daytona 500s. And then he also has one night race win. I can't remember when it was, but I think it was like 2013. But he always finishes better. If he does bad in the first one at Daytona, then he always does better the next time at Daytona. So like, if I think this past one, he got like 36, and then now he's gonna bounce back. He's got 12 top fives, 16 top tens, average finish 18.4. I think his best shot is the road course of Daytona, and his best shot is Dover. But he really has to come correct there. He has two shots at it too, so back to back. And without practice qualifying, that first race is basically practice, and then the next race is the actual race. So we all know that the first race of doubleheaders are more boring than the second one because people aren't trying to push the equipment that much.
Not necessarily.
At Michigan, you know it is. You know people are not going to be pushing their equipment that much.
I'm going to go ahead and maybe jump in the gun here. You know, I disagree, but we'll go into it in a second.
Moving on into the biggest part of the podcast of the episode, silly season. So just rattling off some headlines. We have Bubba Wallace has been offered an extension from Rich Petty Motorsports, offered a 10 to 20% ownership stake in the team and a massive pay raise, according to Andrew Burstein, lead owner of RPM. Bubba has interest from Hendrick and Chip Ganassi. Chip Ganassi has the Chevy and McDonald's tie. And Hendrick, I mean, there's a lot of people trying to sponsor Bubba. Apparently, RPM is about to announce that they're having a huge sponsor join them like next week or the week after.
I'm very excited for that.
I already pre-ordered the Cash App car. And then going on, Brad Kay signed an extension with Penske. One-year deal.
Thank God.
A big deal.
Thank God.
And back to the RPM. I just forgot. A quote-unquote current star is interested in RPM. I think there's three other drivers other than Bubba that have reached out to RPM asking about the 43 car for next season. One of them is a current star that Andrew Murstein said. Owner. Quote-unquote current star. All right. Let's go from the top. I think that while the other options may seem very enticing, like the greener pastures and better equipment, the bigger teams, RPM has stuck by him by things that many NASCAR teams in the past would have dropped him for. You know, they put BLM on the car, put the Black Lives Matter protesting, and they work with him constantly. If he goes off to Hendrick or Ganassi, And they even try to silence him a little bit, be like, hey, tone it down, Bubba. Then it's even just a little bit, be like, hey, don't wear that shirt. Or it's like Richard Childress when he said, Tyler Reddick, don't do that. So if they, it's going to look really bad. But also, if Bubba steadily increases in performance with this new money that's coming in, and also he's making money from the ownership side, he's going to look even better than if he goes to Hendrick or Ganassi and then like shits the bed there. Because Hendrick and Ganassi are not doing that well. In terms of Bubba at RPM, RPM is doing better proportionally, I think, than Hendrick and Ganassi right now. Like, they're not, Hendrick and Ganassi are kind of like stagnant and falling back, but RPM is like on the rise. So, like, I don't think he should leave. So I see where people may be saying you should go to the better team. This is the once in a lifetime opportunity. I think you should listen to the teams and see what that's all about. Like, be a free agent. Like, it's like being talked to, like a pretty girl talking to you. Like, oh, this is nice. This is nice. But like, go back to your loyalty. Like, Richard Petty and Andrew Meierstein gave you this opportunity. So I think that they should, I think he should take that into a lot of consideration. And if he doesn't sign with them, I'll be pretty upset.
I agree. I 100% agree. Part ownership in a team that's gaining a ton of sponsorship. I think RPM, if they can keep this money going to next year, which they will, they could be equivalent to Chip Ganassi. Look, getting a ride at Chip Ganassi or getting a ride at Hendrick is not going to be a guarantee for success. Look at Alex Bowman. Look at Billy Byron. Look at what Jimmy Johnson's done the past several years. It's Elliott's the only one that's been providing. I mean, sure, Bowman has a couple of wins, but he's not going to be a championship contender. No one's, oh man, no,
never
put me Bowman for the Final Four. Says no one.
That would very much surprise me. And if I put any money on anything like that, I would lose a lot of it because I would not put
in Bowman. If it was over under odds, Bowman would be like, if it was like the horse racing, like on GTA, Bowman would be like that 60-1 odds. You put in $1, we'll give you like $1,000, you know, back for it. So
I just look, Bowman to me, I love Alex Bowman. He's a cool ass dude. But his performance has been lacking since we got back from the pandemic. I mean, he won at Auto Club, and then after that, it was like...
Yeah, and look, what my point here is top-tier equipment does not mean you're going to be on the top podium. It has nothing to do with it. Obviously, it does, but it's never a guarantee. Billy Byron, not working out. Bowman, ain't working out too well. Jimmy Johnson, a 7-time champion, ain't doing so hot with it. Look at Matt DiBenedetto. People were thinking, oh man, a guaranteed win and with a top tier ride. Not that easy. Eric Jones is a classic example of that. Even Kyle Busch this year, not that good. So if I were him, take the ownership. He's so young and still has such a long career ahead. Don't make the decision feel like if you go with RPM, even with part ownership, you can still leave. You know, it's not going to be signed off in the next 20 years. No one's saying that. Stick with them. They've given you all this freedom, and the amount of support that he's gotten from them has been tremendous. Stick with them. And he's also built that brand. You know, that is going to be, when I think of the number 43 car, I think Bubba Wallace. It's going to be him. That's his car. It's, stick with it. There's no need.
He's the most famous one to be driving the 43. I mean, Eric Almirola was great. Reed Sorensen, Bobby Labonte, all those people before him were okay. But, like, when you think of the 43 now, it's Petty and Bubba. And that's really it. I think sometimes John Andretti.
Yep.
Because of the most recent stuff going on. But rapid fire here. We got to go through this. Brad K, one-year deal. I am surprised by it's a one-year deal, but I'm also not surprised in the same breath of that because I feel like, you know, he took a pay cut this year. You know, they were talking about it before. You know, they haven't confirmed that, but he was making $15 to $20 million a year since his championship contract and all that stuff. So he's still getting paid like he's like won a whole bunch of championships. Now he's won one, right? He's okay. He wasn't the best. I mean, he was drunk on sports, and that's what I remember. But I think that the one-year deal is really just to wait out the pandemic to get an even bigger contract. It's almost like a franchise tag in the NFL where quarterbacks would take it, and then the next year, they're betting themselves to get an even bigger contract. That's what I think is going to happen. And I mean, were you really surprised by the one-year deal, or were you surprised that he went back to Penske?
I'm not surprised at the deal. I have a sneaky suspicion that Penske does not want Brad Keselowski anymore. They don't want to keep him around, but damn it, he keeps winning races. Like, just when you think he's not, it's like, well, come on, the guy's going to win three, possibly. He could win four races before the playoffs even start. And it's like, what are you going to do?
He's already won three.
So he's like, what are you going to do? Not sign that guy, you know, after he wins four races for your team? So, which they could. I mean, anything's possible. But I have this suspicion that Brad Keselowski, I think part of him wants out of Penske. And I think Penske wants to do away with him. You know, he's a former champion. He wins when he has to win. Why would we not see a 3 or 4 year deal? At least a 2 year deal with a name as big as his. It is surprising to me, but at the same time, Penske's kind of like the security blanket. We're like, yeah, all right, man, if you keep on winning, we'll, you know, it's like paying month by month with a realty company.
Oh, God.
That's what he's doing right now. It goes, hey, I got the paycheck. All right, man, another month. Come on. You know, you can pay for it. Come on, we'll take you. But when the money stops coming on that bill, we're not going to see Brad K at Penske anymore. So I'm thankful, though. I am thankful because that means he won't be not going to the 48 car. It's one less name that could potentially be it if they keep the car around.
Okay, I think that he's going to go to Hendrick after this year.
I agree. I agree.
I think that he's going to go. I just, for whatever reason, I think he's just going to drop
out. He's got his name written all over Hendrick. I think he's going to retire with him.
Dude, if Roger Penske paid like over $1 billion for Indy and all that stuff, and his net worth is like in like his company revenue is over $25 billion. If he wanted to sign Brad Keselowski to a multi-year contract, he would do it. But he didn't.
Money would not be an issue. That would be the last issue.
So, all right, whatever. Brad K, whatever. Who is the current star? Just list off one name, right? Far, we got to get to one more in terms of season. Who's the current star, JP? Interested in RPM?
Before today or yesterday, Brad Keselowski.
You thought Brad was looking at the 43?
Yes. He was keeping his options open.
Okay. I think it was Clint Bowyer. So
would you again, no offense to Clint, love you, man. Would you consider him a current star?
Yeah, I think a lot of people know him. It's kind of borderline, but also, I mean, the picture that they put up was when Adam Stern was talking about current star, they put up Kyle Busch. Stupid. Now Kyle Busch would be,
that was stupid.
That was just to put a bunch of like,
yeah that was them, but just to stir the fire. They know they sons of bitches.
Okay, Christopher Bell, is he going to the 20 car now that LFR is getting shut down?
Yes. I will be absolutely blown. I mean, blown out of the water if Eric Jones signs an extension and Christopher Bell does not have a guaranteed ride at JGR.
Is Eric Jones the new Daniel Hemric?
That part I don't know. I don't know. Maybe Eric Jones. What if, I mean, so many things could happen here. JGR, well, they can't become a 5-car team because they only be 4 cars. I really don't know. Maybe Eric Jones goes to Spire. They work out some kind of deal. Spire is the next one to have an alliance, the doomed alliance with JGR. God forbid they ever do that. They're 0-2 so far as of today. So
everyone talks about the failed business model of NASCAR ownership. No, it's just Toyota's failed. Look. Furniture Row failed. LFR failed. I think you had some other ones in between there. Michael Waltrip Racing failed. Anything with TRD, it's like a gang. You have to put so much money up front to them and then like giving you like okay equipment. You're like some of you guys, like they're putting so much money into JGR that whenever anybody else comes up and says, oh, we'll pay the exact same money, they're not getting the same stuff as JGR. Mm-hmm. They're getting stuff that's similar to JGR, but it is like way too expensive. Like Toyota is charging way too much money and they're bankrupt to their teams. Gaunt Brothers, who knows where Daniel Suarez is going to go. Daniel Suarez is having a great year for Gaunt Brothers. Maybe, who knows? Does Daniel Suarez finally get his shot at the 20 car?
No.
Do they finally say, you know what? Maybe. No. Who knows? But, all right. Got to talk about hindsight picks. I chose Matty Dean LaJoy. You chose Truex and that Jones boy. My guys finished sixth and 35th, and your guys finished third.
You
finished
boy.
Third, and Eric finished 24th. So you did better than me.
No, I did not. Now I'm going to eat my words here yet again, because my definite knots ruined what I had going good.
What were my definite knots?
Your definite knot was Jones, which you were correct.
Not winning.
Correct. Harvick did good. He finished fifth, which you had him as a knot, which that's fair. He didn't win the race.
I win.
And you had Denny as a definite knot, which you got lucky. You got very lucky. My definite knots had KB in there. I could not have been more correct on that one. First car of the race. Outstanding. Thank you, God. However, eat my damn words on this one. Keselowski was on my definite knot. And and he came out of, he came, look, I don't know. He came out of his stall. And I guess someone gave him a really good apple or something. And he was, man, what
Bush apple?
Yeah, no, he's not good enough for a Bush apple. The hell with that.
He's a Miller.
Yes. So someone gave him the good apple that day. And he, man, when the gates opened, he just trotted right into victory lane. Good for him.
Okay. We got to talk about this coming up weekend. So we have double Michigan or triple Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Really? So we have truck and then we have two cup, and then we also have Road America for Xfinity. So who's definitely not winning Cup Series Michigan?
This is a tough one here. I'm picking guy. This is a big gamble on my end. I think they're going to have good days, but they're not going to win the race. Notable guy number one, Ryan Blaney. He's had some really strong finishes there. I believe a couple of top six or sevens. And while we're on the topic, it will not be because of his smoking hot Hooters girlfriend. It will not be because of her. It'll just be because he's not good. He wasn't good before the pussy. He ain't going to be good after the pussy. On to that. Denny Hamlin. Again, he's done good at Michigan. And I felt kind of iffy picking him for the not winners. But big, hot take. He ain't going to win. He'll do good. He ain't going to win.
Okay. Penske's not going to win a race this weekend at all. I do not think Penske will win. Any of them will win.
Even the alliance of the Wood Brothers car?
Yeah. DiBenedetto goes into that. Yeah. I don't think he's going to. All four cars, they have Penske. Yeah. So I don't think that. Let's see. I don't think a JGR car is going to win. And I think, yeah, that's my two big ones. I think JGR and Penske are my two
big
knots.
Eight fucking cars, man. That's awfully bold. I was only asked for two. That's a hot, so, that's a scathing take.
Ooh. All right. Got to go into actual picks here. Truck race. Who's winning trucks? Michigan.
I'm going to go on a limb here. Give me Sheldon Creed.
Get the
trucks. Hey, you know, he's overdue.
Yeah, he's overweight.
Hey, look, I'm not arguing with.
Oh, he won in Kentucky.
Well, technicality, yes.
No, technicality or not, there's still a W.
So
he's in the.
Look, all right, I know. But let's be honest here, you're not going to pick him every freaking race. Give me Sheldon Creed, all right? Look, I'm looking out for he ain't the doughboy. I think he's too fat to be the doughboy like Austin Hill. But that Creed boy, look out for him.
Okay, I have BFM, Brett Moffitt, winning this race.
Good pick. Love Moffitt.
And I think it's time. I don't think he has not won a race this season. It's time for him and the little stash to win.
He doesn't have a stash. He won't win.
Oh, But he's going to win. All right. Who's winning Road America for Xfinity?
I only get to pick one.
Keep it at one. Keep it at one for Xfinity.
Keep it at one. Give me. I'm so torn between them. I'm so torn. Give me Austin Cindric.
Austin Cindric? You're just an asshole.
You're an asshole.
Okay. Since you picked first on those two, we're going to do main picks and dark horse picks for Michigan 1 and 2. Michigan 1, I think it's...
Who's your pick for Xfinity?
Oh yeah, Chase Briscoe.
All right, like Briscoe. Hopefully he wins. We'll see. Got to see.
Okay. Michigan 1, Kurt Busch.
Oh, damn it, you piece of shit.
My dark horse pick is Clint Bowyer.
That was a waste of a pick there. Is that just for Michigan 1?
Michigan 1.
All right. Going to Michigan 1. A big winner here. I like Kevin Harvick. He's a previous winner. The guy's on a hot streak. We know he's going to have a good run there if he can keep the car clean. He'll be a good favorite. I think he was really frustrated, too, with New Hampshire. He had a really good car, but with the strategy, the Larry Mack nugget, so to speak, did not pay out. There was no payoff for it. We did not see... The longest green flag run of the race was at the very end, and a lot of guys were not banking on that. Had that occurred with the speed Kevin Harvick had and the handling that his car had, he would have been a threat. So I think he's frustrated. He's going to get that W.
Okay, dark horse pick,
Kurt Busch. Stick with you on that one. We can have the same dark horse pick. He's had really strong finishes, but he has been nowhere in sight. Any pre and post pandemic, we haven't seen hardly any Kurt Busch. So looking to see if he can actually do something good this weekend. Michigan 2.
In Michigan 2, I'm going to go with my main pick, Almirola.
Oh, man, we're at the same thinking here.
Okay, my dark horse is going to be, let's think, Jimmy Johnson. He's going to have good practice. Who's your main pick for Michigan 2?
For Michigan 2, Harvick is going to have another strong run. I'm going to go ahead and do it. Give me Harvick back-to-back. We have not seen a back-to-back winner on the doubleheaders for the Cup Series yet. But I think Michigan we could.
You're a dick.
I accept that. And go Busch Light.
Look, I'm getting my Busch car on Saturday. But Harvick is not even going to come close to winning both of these races. He's not Austin Cindric at Kentucky. All right, who's your dark horse pick?
Dark horse pick going into Michigan 2. This is a tough one, man. Here's my basis. Paul Menard had a good running there last year. Put Matty D in there. Matty D has had some good finishes. He was running up in New Hampshire fairly good. We're going to a bigger track. If it's close racing, he'll do good there. He does good in pack close racing. I really don't think he'll win. God, I really, really, really want him to, so I can go ahead and pre-order the 1/24th scale diecast that I can put with my collection. But watch out for Matty D. It's going to be Ford's dominating it. I'll say that much.
Right. Okay. To end the episode 2, we got to do crystal ball headlines. Go ahead with your crystal ball headlines from the entire weekend. Just go ahead and try to sum up it all into one headline.
One big headline. We're going to see a lot of changes to the bubble, the playoff bubble spots. I think we're going to see Bowyer. He's going to be out. Jimmy is going to be in, barely. And I think Matt DiBenedetto, he's not going to solidify himself on points like Kurt Busch and Almirola are. I would say they're guaranteed in on points alone. But he's going to come. He's going to really dig his way in there. We will not see a first-time winner this season at Michigan.
This season?
Oh, okay. First-time winner this season only.
First-time winner at Michigan. Okay. Either one. I think that it's going to be across everything. The Chevys bounce back. Chevys have been down on a slope. I think they're going to bounce back this week. I know that my picks have two Fords in them with Dark Horse Boyer and main one Almirola, but I think the Chevys are really going to show out at Michigan. They're because they put the manufacturers on the side panels this time. Like, I don't know if you've
seen the Chase Elliott car.
I don't know why the hell they did that. It looks ugly, but they're really proud of this, these manufacturers. So I think it's going to be all about Chevy going into Monday morning headlines. Like, I'm talking about Road America, trucks, both Cup Series races in Michigan. And I also agree with you. A lot of changes to the bubble. Playoff standings do not look the same at all. And I do think that the first race is going to be more boring than the second race.
I'm going to disagree with you on that. That's one thing I didn't cover. Look, the doubleheaders, statistically speaking, have been 50-50 if the first race is going to be boring, or at least have a boring finish. I think we're going to get some good racing. And the reason for that is, it's crunch time, man. It is just Michigan, Daytona, and Dover. They're going to three places.
Road course at four.
Well, I understand. I'm saying it's still Daytona.
Geographically,
as far as them getting off that hauler and going, which the road course, that is not money. That is the furthest thing from money in the bank, as is the Daytona night race.
Coke Zero.
So the Coke Zero or Coke 400. So
Coke Zero Sugar 400.
So think about this. If you take out those two from the equation, as far as consistent races go, they only got four races left. Four, and that's if Dover or Michigan are nice to you. If they're not nice to you, you are done. You don't have any other options to work with. You do not have time to sit back in 10th or 15th place halfway through the race and go, you know, we're okay here. Yeah, no, to hell with the backup car. You know, we'll stay right here. No, that time is come and gone. That's over, man. It is game time. These guys have to win. These cars are going to be much more closer together than what we're used to seeing, like at Texas or Kansas or I'm not going to say what we saw at New Hampshire because cars were pretty close together. But we're going to see a lot of close racing, and I think we're going to see a lot more aggressiveness even on day one because guys cannot afford to wait anymore.
Well, all right. That's all. We have talked everything this past week, put it all into a nice, clean hour show for everybody. We've got the cars prepped, got both of our cars in the hauler. We are off to Michigan, and we're ready to race and then come back to you next week with our thoughts and opinions about this past week and going towards the Daytona Road Course. Thanks for another great week, JP.
Thank you, guys.
And I.
Thank you, guys. Good night, guys.